This is Howard Wilkinson, and I'm here today with Greg Rhodes, the historian of the Cincinnati Reds, and Rick Walls, the executive director of the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. And we're going to talk about an event that took place 75 years ago this week, which will probably never be replicated, or could be, but I tend to doubt it.
I think you're right, Howard, with it'll probably never be replicated.
Yeah.
It is hard to imagine.
And it's Johnny Vandermeer, the young left-handed pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, who pitched back-to-back no-hit games. And, Greg, I know you've done a lot of research into this. Walk us through game number one first, and then take us to Brooklyn, which is where game number two took place.
Game number one in Cincinnati against the Boston Braves, later the Milwaukee Braves, now the Atlanta Braves, in Cincinnati at Crosley Field, a Saturday afternoon, about 5,000 people on hand, certainly not a full house by any means, and little, of course, reason did they have to expect they were going to see greatness that day, but Vandy was pretty sharp that day. There were really no outstanding defensive plays behind him. He pitched a very solid game, and the Reds won it, I think, 3-0. It was knot-hole day at the ballpark, so there were a lot of kids there. And I talked to one of the knot-holers many years. He was, of course, a much older man. And he said that the odd thing about it as a kid was for him, he had no idea Vandermeer had just pitched a no-hitter. He said, you know, as a kid, you're really not paying that close attention. And then the other thing was the old Crosley Field scoreboard did not have a column for hits. And, in fact, if you come to the Reds Hall of Fame, you will see a replica of that scoreboard and with the actual scoreboard as it was at the final out of Vandermeer's first no-hitter. And there is nowhere on there does it say hits. So if you weren't paying close attention, you might not even realize what you were seeing.
If you weren't keeping a scorecard or something like that, you may not have been aware of
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then what happened in the next start?
Then 4 days later, the Reds are on the road, and they go to Brooklyn. And there were a couple of things. Number one, it was the first night game in Ebbets Field history. And so there was a lot of hoopla around the game to begin with. And then, of course, it was Vandermeer's next start, so there was all this appreciation for Vandermeer and what he'd done. And Vandermeer had grown up in New Jersey, and his parents came to that game. So his parents were actually on hand, little realizing, of course, they were about to see him throw another no-hitter. But it was what a night in Brooklyn. And it was interesting. Larry McPhail, who had been the old general manager of the Reds, who was now the general manager of the Dodgers, he was so excited about his new lights, and he was, you know, puffing around. He's got his new lights. Well, of course, by about the fifth inning, nobody cared about the lights anymore. The story was Vandermeer. And Vandermeer was wild that night. He
walked a lot of people.
Eight. And so he pitched out of a lot of tough jams. And, of course, you know, when you got guys on base, a lot of times the infield's playing in a little bit, double play depth, it's a little easier to get a hit. But he still managed to go through it. I'll bet he pitched 150 pitches that night.
Mm-hmm. Now, Greg, wasn't Babe Ruth on hand for that game too? Jesse Owens too?
But yeah, because it was the first night game, a lot of the dignitaries around the New York area and from baseball were on hand to see it.
Yeah. Maybe both of you can speak to this. I mean, just place this in historical perspective for the history of baseball. I mean, where does this rank, this achievement?
Well, there's a few records. I mean, let's take the 56-game hitting streak of Joe DiMaggio, and everybody holds that up as an unbreakable record. And I think this falls in the same category. Vandy was often asked if he thought anybody would break it, and his answer I thought was very sensible. First of all, they got a tie, and nobody's done that yet, and the odds of anybody doing that are so small. And then, let alone to pitch a third no hitter, I mean, it's just I think it's a record that'll stand for all time.
What was he, 21 and a half innings, I think, of hitless baseball? Did he get the outs or those? Those hits, did they come in that third game? I mean, how close did he come to the third no-hitter? What did he do in the next start?
He pitched into the fourth inning.
I think so.
He threw the first three innings of no-hit ball, maybe one out in the fourth. And he said he was the most relieved guy in the ballpark because he said he was so full of nerves and just so tight that he was happy that it was finally over.
Wow. Rick, tell me a little bit about how the Reds and the Hall of Fame and Museum in particular are recognizing this 75 years later.
Yeah, we look at all the anniversaries that come around, you know, whether this year happens to also be the 25th anniversary of Tom Browning's perfect game. We did the 100th anniversary of Crosley Field last year in 2012. You know, it opened as Redland Field in 1912. But we look at all these very important milestones, and as Greg was talking about, this is one of those big ones. This is not just a Reds record. It's a national record, kind of like Pete Rose's hit record, what he holds at 4256. So we've created a display for Johnny upstairs. We've brought in some items from the National Baseball Hall of Fame and some other items on loan from lenders around the area. Some ticket stubs, stuff from the game itself, which is pretty neat. We've even talked to some people that were at one of the no-hitters. And to think about it, as Greg said, this is not going to be broken. It's not going to happen. And we talked to Johnny Vandermeer's sister not too long ago, and she was going to try to come to town. She's in her 90s, just could not travel. But we brought some other members of the No-Hit Club in. So Jim Maloney will be here, as well as Tom Browning, Mr. Perfect. Mentioned him a minute ago. Talked to George Culver as well, one of the other living no-hit pitchers, and he just couldn't make it. He's chairing, I think, a Little League tournament this weekend in California. And then, of course, Tom Seaver, who I did speak with, and he's unable to come to this one, but we hope to get them all back. So Homer Bailey would be the other one, and guess what? He's going to pitch Saturday. At least he's slated to.
That's right.
So Saturday, on June 15th, the actual 75th anniversary of that second no-hitter, we've got a ceremony on the field with Maloney and Browning, and Browning will probably toss out the first pitch that day, and we'll be carrying the spirit of Vandermeer, hopefully, right to the hands of Bailey, and we'll see another gem. And all the fans are going to get a special card that weekend that commemorates the 75th anniversary, shows the box score, and has a coupon for the Hall of Fame on it as well. So I think it's going to be a fun Saturday to commemorate the anniversary.
Yeah, I've seen the print. It looks very attractive. It's and all the fans Saturday night will get one of those.
Yep, it'll be a fun day.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Howard, happy to...